pongo más.
Pronto llegará el día de mi suerte. Te lo juro por mi gente. Te juro que un día llegará. And we won't stop. We always knew we made it. Even though you play it hated, we still made it to the top.
What a rock puro. Not been noodle. No, I'm not the one that said he's judo. You don't know if I got a gun. It's fun from the X side of things, but getting inside my rings. Everything I want, I get. Bada bing, it's mine. I shine like money that sound like Biggie. Fuck around my town, boogie down my city. Come around, get pound. Do the crown, no pity. Watch the sound, 4 pound. 20 round million, get smacked silly for coming out your mug. I'm known for bouncing thugs from the tunnel to the south of clubs. Don't matter, put the chrome to your powder. Splatter your abs. Have you pissing in the plastic bag? That's a drag, now you abnormal. But make me grab the rumble and put some motherfucking stabs on you.
You ready?
What's going on, gentlemen?
What's poppin'?
I ain't hear that big pun in the background?
Nah. What was that? Did you catch me in a cherry red 150?
Nah, that was Puerto Rico, 100%.
Oh, okay. I was about to say.
Nah, it didn't come through.
You ain't hear it on the wire?
Me not here. Come on, not here. Me not here.
Dumb nigga at the party. Too much Bacardi, started speaking dumb. Then you try to snuff Joe. Must have been Puerto Rican rum. That's the hardcore. To use a sophomore. Takes years to earn a pair of Terror Squad balls.
Yeah, get lost to take one bone.
I heard that time?
Nah, don't even worry about it, bro.
That's all good. We out here. We out. Let's go.
That's disrespectful to the game. Hold on, my bad, fellas.
It is all good. Y'all know what it is. Y'all know where y'all at. Y'all know what y'all listening to. We appreciate y'all, though.
Facts. Always that.
What's good, y'all? What's good, y'all? We had a good one the other day, man. That Wednesday episode was cool. Told you guys we had homecoming last week. What did we miss? Let's see. So it's football season. Football season is going on right now. Baseball season is wrapping up. Basketball is starting.
Mm-hmm.
So we starting to kind of get a little bit of overlap here and there, you know. For us guys, like, I know a lot of us are definitely happy about that.
Well, I'm not happy the Yankees went home, but...
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Congratulations to the guys on a great season. Aaron Judge still going to get that MVP award. We get right back to it next year.
I mean, if he don't come to the Mets, but yeah, he had a great season. He had a great year, man.
Wanting to get somebody we got.
I'm just saying, he might not be happy there, man. But no, it is a great time of year. The World Series is starting up. By the time this episode airs, the World Series would have started. Mm-hmm. NBA's in full effect. NFL's in full effect. So it's a great time of year.
Halloween. Do we still are women still dressing up? Are people still dressing up?
The kids still pictures for the past 2 weeks.
Say it again.
I've been seeing throwback pictures for the past 2 weeks. Oh, I mean, I was this. I was that. I was this. Yeah, they definitely getting dressed up, bro. They want to be outside.
Yeah. I've been saying I was going to be Prince for like the last 2 years, but I ain't getting around to it yet. But I ain't going to have my ass cheeks out, though.
I would hope not. I mean, I know you in the South. It's a little bit warmer down there, but still, bro. That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, people still dressing up. I do find it weird, though, like Tripp said. I always, like, people who put so much effort into it every year. I think the most effort I ever put in, I went as, like, I just painted my face white and wore all black and was like, yo, I'm dead president for one Halloween party, and that was it.
Yeah.
I threw the Skelly on, painted my face, and I'm like, that's it.
Yeah, I remember this one costume I had when I was a kid. My mom had, like, I was a vampire, so I had the little bad vampire teeth with the cape and like some lipstick. She had, like, put the blood on my face. Like I was a vampire.
Yeah, but that's good costumes. Those are good costumes. You didn't get the ghost.
Yeah, you the ghost?
Tripp said he was the ghost for 4 years.
Yo.
But still, even that's as a kid, right? As a kid, you expect, like, oh yeah, put the effort in. But as adults, like, bro, why are we doing this every year? Why are we doing this every year, bro?
The people that go to those conventions, they do that shit. They don't care.
Some Comic-Con conventions and all that.
But they in the culture. That's, we, regular people right. Out here still dressing up, too.
Yeah.
They going to some party. They ain't going to no Comic-Con or nothing like that. They going out.
Yeah.
They trying to get fucked up tonight and be thotty.
Mm-hmm. Because that's when we wear those costumes, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you know, the girls, you know, they could, you know, live out all their wild, thotty fantasies and get away with it because it's Halloween.
I'm not like this. I'm just dressing this way for Halloween. Nah, bitch, you in character.
No judgment tonight. No judgment.
Nah, no judgment. No judgment.
Never that.
Yeah.
It's a judge-free zone.
Definitely. So I had came across this little weird-ass article. It was the world's most difficult languages or whatever. Would y'all ever consider learning anything else?
I mean, I'd learn Spanish, you know, growing up.
Nah, not Spanish. Would you learn anything else? Because I feel like everybody will say that, though. Like, I'm not, like, no offense, but to me, Spanish is almost like English.
Because like of where we grew up.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not our first language, though.
But so in a level of difficulties, I think people will learn English or Spanish, but you know what I mean, faster than they'll learn certain other languages and stuff like that.
For us, but English is a hard language to learn.
Yeah.
You got to think about around the world, people trying to learn English is different.
But just even looking at the numbers, like, so number one was Mandarin, and that's mostly like in Asian countries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because people still speak English in other countries, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Not too many people going to say they speak Mandarin, you know what I mean? Let's say on this side of the world, you know?
Mandarin, we dope. And we do have a really large Asian population. I don't know if everybody speaks Mandarin because, like, I know some people speak, like, Cantonese.
No, but I'm saying specifically, though. Specifically, because we're talking about it in level of, like, difficulties. You know what I mean?
What, to try and learn it?
Yeah.
If it's not your language, it's going to be hard to learn.
You motherfucker.
Period.
True.
This is true.
Yeah. No, of course it is. It's always going to be difficult. I mean, for me, I would have loved to learn like French or Italian because I just think that shit sounds so smooth.
So I think, what was it? It was another one. It was Greek, even Greek. So that's like a language that's only spoken in two countries. Like two countries, yeah. Maybe people that's from other places or whatever. It's just one, you know, one of those random travel type of things or whatever. And then, like number two was like Arabic, 274 million people speak that.
Mm-hmm.
Three Japanese, 126 million, and these are like the from the number one, two, three, or whatever.
How many speak English?
Well, that wasn't on there. It wasn't on the list of places because most places they teach people English, bro. What I'm saying.
In most other countries, English is the second language.
So
that'll be taught, you know what I'm saying? Just like here, you know, obviously a lot of Spanish is spoken a lot of places, obviously, because you got variations of it. Obviously, Portuguese is a variation of it as well. When you listen to somebody speak Portuguese, there are Spanish roots in there as well, you know? And then obviously the Spanish we speak, just using us as an example in New York, is completely different than what they speak in Spain.
Mm-hmm.
Still Spanish, but it's you know, there are parts of it that you could tell a little different. So, English is probably the most universal because of how everyone treats it as a second language.
Yeah, like it's like I don't know. I almost want to kind of ask, you know, maybe a travel agent or somebody, like, what's the top languages that you guys would consider to like kind of learn? And I don't know. It's just something, you know, when looking at your exploration and you just trying to, you know, just. Better yourself as far as, you know, business wise and relationships. You know, we talked before about Kanye and relationships, and that shit is important, man. That shit is important. You guys right now actually are checking us out. We'll be on StreamYard, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we got to talk about that, man. We got to talk about that some more. I don't know if y'all got into it before. I apologize. I wasn't there last week. I was actually out working. So, you know, ran kind of late. So we definitely, you know, we reaching out to some more places. We want you guys to be able to tune in and share us, you know, on a regular basis, and just looking to expand, you know, growing our audience. You know, we just getting that 14,000 streams. You know, we've been doing this for a few years now, so, and we definitely appreciate all the love.
No, that's a fact, man. Like I said, we definitely want to open things up and make it more engaging. You know what I'm saying? We get so many people individually. We've talked about this before. You know, we all have people that reach out to us about the show or have questions about the show or I listen to the episode, and now we try to make it more interactive and expand and reach out to more people to give them a chance to kind of be a part of the show, because that's what makes it dope, man. When people get to see you grow and people get to be a part of that growth, they kind of appreciate it, and they treat it like, yo, I fuck with them, man. I remember when I was listening to them, when they was, they held me down during the pandemic, when they was the only consistent podcast during the pandemic.
Crazy. Crazy.
We're gonna be going live a lot more for you guys, so.
Yeah, and speaking of growing the audience, man, we gotta send a shout out. What Gilly and Wallow is doing right now, that's a game changer, bro. If people don't know, there was the post that's been circulating. They both were emotional. They signed $100 million deal with Barstool. That's like athlete numbers right there. $100 million deal to podcast. And it's amazing because we watched their journey from, you know, just regular posts on social media to doing a podcast thing to now being on a major platform and getting a major bag for it.
Congratulations.
Always something to aspire to, you know, and to see more people that's doing that. And this is still something that's fairly new, you know what I mean? You had the view, but you also had the talk, and you had this and you had that. So, you know, it's always going to be fair game out here, baby. So, y'all check us out.
I just think it's super dope, man, because, you know, I like Wallow. I really fuck with Wallow's movement and the message that he puts out there. And mm-hmm. to just see, like, he recently started putting a lot of his original posts from social media up, like the one when he first came home from jail. He had, like, the $1,000 on the bed and talked about what his plan was going to be. And, you know, the original post of, like, him selling T-shirts out the back of his man's car. Obviously, he didn't even have his own car because he just came home from jail. And to sit there and see that growth in, like, the 7 years, bro, to go from I'm fresh out, I got $1,000 to my name, and I'm living in my grandmother's house, to now I grow the audience, I got all these brand deals, because he got a deal with Mercedes-Benz now, and I got a $100 million deal with Barstool. That's fucking phenomenal, bro.
He ain't getting out with Adidas yet. He in them damn track pants all the time.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they get him in there now, that Yeezy up out of there.
I'm about to say, I'm sure one of them deals is going to pull through soon.
That's so, what's up,
yeah,
yo.
I mean, I fuck with both of them, but, you know, for Wallow, like, I really like that for him, you know what I'm saying? Because coming home, like, shit ain't easy to fucking start over when you're coming home from jail. And then to mm-hmm. not even just start over, but completely turn your life around and be up now. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. So for him, it's like, man, yo, you gotta tip your hat to that man, applaud him. Like, that shit is dope for him, yo. So, but congratulations to both of them on that. Like, real shit, continue to get to the bag. We still, you know, the number one, you know, podcast, you know, they know about us. But, you know what I'm saying, congratulations on that.
Word. Always something to aspire to. Always cool when people that's doing what you're doing, you know, they get to that bag, man. You don't want to do anything. You don't want to do stuff for nothing. That's to me, that's what it's always about, or whatever. Like, stuff has to have some type of goal to it, you know? When we out here just doing shit to do shit, we end up like a lot of other motherfuckers that just, you know what I mean? And this is not even trying to be funny, but you start doing some shit and you don't continue to do it or whatever. So, you know.
Yeah, I mean, like, we always talk about, like, people being genuine with their intentions, right? And we also always talk about the quote-unquote the alleged OGs who's supposed to be guiding the youth. And that's why I think it's so ill that what Wallow's doing, because he's still true to himself. Like Ann said, you know, coming home, that shit ain't easy. Like, he came home in his mid-30s, bro. He missed a lot of time behind that wall. He could have easily reverted back to some shit that was easy for him and, you know, called him and got a pack or got back on the streets, because that would have been easy for him. But he took the hard route. He really grew it organically. He wasn't out there doing no gimmicky shit. It was all about a message, motivational speaking. He was still going to the jails and speaking to the youth. You know what I'm saying? There was no cameras attached to that shit. He was doing that shit out of genuine love. That's why I think it's so ill. And we talk about that so much with our own brand with shooting the shit, man. This is organic, bro. This ain't no forced shit. Ain't nobody twisting our arm to be here talking about the shit we talk about. We're speaking from a genuine place. We not aligned with nobody. So if we talk shit about you, or we say some shit that don't align with what somebody else think, we're not doing that shit for likes and clicks. We doing that shit because that's how we really feel about a certain topic. You know what I'm saying? That shit is organic. Can't nobody take that away from us. Can't nobody ever say, oh, they only said this because of who they align with. It ain't like that over here.
Facts.
Yeah, man. I know what nigga
do. Do we intro the show, man? Nah, we got to stop for a second and intro the show, man. Shit.
Shooting the shit.
Shooting the shit.
Shooting the motherfucking shit. Hey, man. They said the world's dirtiest man died after they forced him to get a bath.
Well, why would they force him to get a bath if he lived this long and was good? Then how you gonna force him to... Clearly, it works for him.
So I think it was one of those, he had a phobia thing. And it was wild because apparently, of course, he was homeless, but it was like they had tried to, like, you know, clean up a few times. But it's like in BBC News, it might be some bullshit. But
when was,
you know,
the last time he washed up,
bro? It said
I'm sure his parents had to have washed him up when he was a kid.
No. Hold on. His name, he didn't use soap or water for decades after fearing that he would make himself sick after actually, like, washing. Avoid multiple attempts by residents, however,
they interviewed him right before he died.
So they talked to him for months and tried to convince him to take a bath, and he finally did it. And then once he did it, he died.
So he stopped using soap and water for fear of getting sick.
Yeah.
I'd like to know if he washed his clothes then.
Nah, he looked like a dust ball, like not even trying to be funny.
So he wasn't washing his clothes. He wasn't washing his ass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Who's his PR team that reached out to somebody and said, I think we have the dirtiest man alive?
Right? Like, how the fuck you even know this shit? Like, but see, that's the shit too, right? So if you really trying to help this man, why the fuck are you recording this shit too?
Right.
You know, a lot of people do that too.
You promoting the bullshit.
Yeah.
They doing a documentary. That's
why. Yeah. They
need to film. Right. I don't know. I can't call it, bro.
Yeah. Like, some of these stories be fucking nuts and shit. And then, I'm just running off shit at this point, right? You know, Shanti actually is going to say something. She has an interview with Angie Martinez. Did y'all see that?
I'm going to watch it. I haven't seen it yet, but I want to watch that shit.
Mm-hmm.
I seen it. She was on Ebro in the morning. She did an interview with them. She was talking about it a little bit, too.
What she was talking about?
Shit with Irv. I saw a little clip of it. I didn't see the whole thing. But, yeah, she's definitely... I'm looking forward to watching the rest of that and the Angie interview, because I know... Well, Angie, I know it's going to get deep.
Right.
So that's the one I'm really looking forward to.
So she probably got tired of his shit. That's what it sounded like.
Mm-hmm. It was like, yo, enough is enough, bro. Like, I mean, listen, man. There's a way he could have told that story and been a lot more respectful to Ashanti.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But listen... However you choose to do it, that's on you. That's how you choose to do it, whatever. To each his own. But there is a way that you could have still told that story with it, you know, and made it less disrespectful to Ashanti.
Yeah, it was some real chatty patty shit. You know, he was going on and on about the songs and, oh, she wrote that song because we just finished having sex and I got out the shower. You know, like, it was over the top. And, like, I do agree with Irv, because we talked about it one time where when somebody asked him, like, oh, why are you talking about it? He said, because y'all asking me, which is true, right? The documentary was going to come out. The series is going to come out. So people were going to ask anyway. And they always have been rumors that somebody in the camp was fucking with Ashanti. So we know it was going to come out. But there's a certain level of respect you could have had and be like, yeah, we had a relationship, but that's our business. That's not for the world to know the details about what we had, you know? And I understand. I do kind of understand Irv being upset from the standpoint of, like, how she's trying to fight him for her catalog back, because he made a great point. He was saying, yo, as a producer and as a record exec, I don't get to perform the songs. I don't get to go on tour and make money off the songs no more. So all I have is the catalog. Yeah. So if I give you the catalog back, how do I keep eating? You know what I'm saying? Like he said, if I give every one of my artists back their catalog, then how do I eat as a producer? Whereas Ashanti gets booked to perform them same songs. You know what I'm saying? So she's always able to eat off it. So I understood his point of view, but you still got to handle it with a little bit of finesse and be like, yo, I'm not going to put all of our business out there for everyone to know what was going on.
But wouldn't he continue to produce music, though, if that's his actual role of actually producing? Like, you made what you made off of it and you keep it moving. Like, you kind of like a freelancer, so to speak.
Nah, but you got to think songs are timeless. They get licensed for shows, for movies.
They are. But like Eric just said, if you can't perform them, you just can't fucking perform them. All you can do is go on Versus and say, yo, this is my song. You can't do nothing with that shit. Yeah, you kind of got to take that L, though.
The difference with Irv and most producers is that he was also the head of the label. So he was putting up all the money. So it's not like one of us who, if we produce a beat at home and then somebody pay us for it, all right, that's it, it's done. You paid me for the work and you good.
Yeah.
I was not only producing, I put up all the marketing bread. I put up the video budget. I put up the wardrobe budget, the travel budget. So I put up all this bread up front, hoping to get it back on the back end. The catalog still belongs to the label, no matter what. Like, right, that's what every artist beefs with the label about now. Like, yo, I want my masters. Well, that's how the label keeps making money off it. And if you're an artist that has enough leverage, you can negotiate the right level of how much points you get back off it or you get your masters. So I understand completely where he was coming from, because it's like, yo, I helped you make these timeless hits. If I produced them, I marketed them, I put up all the budget for it. Now here we are 20 years later, you still able to travel the world performing them songs. You don't give me not one dime off of these performances, right? And she's not entitled to either, she's the artist.
Yeah.
But in the same regard, I own the masters now. That's how I get paid off it. Somebody wanna use this shit in a movie, I could get my money off it now. So I understand that, but again, there's a certain level of finesse you can have, bro. As men, we know you should not be running around telling the business of what took place behind closed doors between you and a woman. It's just not right.
Like when you literally say, yeah, we was just fucking and I wouldn't have shouted, like, come on, bro.
That's a bit sexy with the story.
Yeah, that's a bit too personal. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, y'all was fucking around, whatever. But that's mad fucking descriptive, you know, of a specific particular event, you know?
He didn't have to go into detail. He could have left it at, you know, like he said, I was already separated from my wife when me and Ashanti started fucking around, so she wasn't a home wrecker. And Ashanti was already had a record deal before we started fucking around. So it wasn't like she was only fucking with me for the deal. She already had that. We became friends because we was in the studio and one thing led to another. But you sitting here talking about, oh, we spent every day together and this was my girl. And you don't want to know how I found out that she was fucking Nelly? I was at home and ESPN. And then now you get in your feelings.
Salty.
Yeah, you get in your feelings, like, come on, bro. Just relax. And then that shit was 20 years ago. You still feel that way? So I don't even want to know how you felt 5 years ago about the shit.
It's funny because, like, but you know, we said this before, though. It's guys like that, bro. Just so happened that it's Irv Gotti in this particular situation. Guys will always feel a way about other guys that, you know what I'm saying, about stuff that they can't, the other guy can't help. And it's like, come on, fam. Like, what we doing right now? You're too old for this shit, man. You a grown-ass man, and now you want to say and still be mad about some shit from 20 years ago? Like, grow up, bro.
Yeah.
Grow up.
I mean, listen, Ashanti's in a tough spot because, again, now she kind of got to defend her own honor, and then it opens up the platform for now people to ask more questions. You know, did you know he was still with his wife or not? You know, like, now it puts her in a really tough spot because that's not the world's business, but because he already started the conversation, now she got to talk about it. And that's fucked up in his own right too. Like, at the end of the day, if y'all was having fun and you was going through a split from your wife, if she start talking to another dude, that's a conversation y'all have behind closed doors. Don't make it seem like she cheated on you by being at the game with another dude when, like, even when that clip circulated, everybody was saying the same thing. Like, my nigga, you was married though.
Yeah.
How you sitting here being so upset about seeing her at the game when you were still married?
Like, you know what it is, though. You know what I mean? You know how some motherfuckers just feel like they just naturally own, you know what I mean? They're old some shit or whatever. But, bro, you just got to take that L, bro. And the weird part about it to me is the fact that he feels the need to kind of continue to talk about the shit over and over again. He wants to create some shit and do this and do that. Like, Vitaly, did their relationship affect anything within the dynamic of I don't know. Maybe it did. Maybe we got to wait and see, because I don't know if it really affected anything within that actual label itself or whatever. But from the outside looking in, it looked like it really did.
Some of the other artists said it had a slight effect. Nothing crazy. But the other artists, because from the vibe I got from the series they had was that the other artists were under the assumption that there was like a pecking order. Like, everybody knew Ja was the star. you know, at that point, Ja already had hits. Cool. But then Charlie Baltimore thought she was going to drop something. Vida thought she was going to drop something. And then because Ashanti took off so quick, then they even said themselves that Irv completely changed the dynamic of what they were going to do, where Irv just said, all right, fuck it. Ashanti's hot right now, so we going to focus on her album. And everybody else kind of felt like, all right, but that's not what we originally talked about. What we originally talked about was a particular pecking order, and now because she's the hot new thing, oh, by the way, Irv fucking with it too. So now it's like, you know, she the one. Because even certain people that was at the label behind the scenes were saying that it got to a point where they even had to question, like, what's going on here? Because you only travel with Ashanti. Like, you're not going on the road with Ja everywhere he go. You know what I'm saying? If Ja got a show out in fucking Colorado, you probably not going to that show. But if Ashanti is in Colorado, you making sure you at every stop on the tour. So they started catching the vibe too.
He was doing too much.
It was a combination of a lot of shit, man. And nobody could discredit their run.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's just that they went up against a fucking monster that, you know, at the time the game had the hip hop game had never seen nothing like what 50 was doing at that time.
Yeah.
When 50 hit the scene and what he was doing, nobody had ever approached it that way and nobody had ever seen it that way. You know, he already had enemies in the game before he even had a hit single because he did How to Rob.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? 50 was a wave that I don't know if any label could have really survived it if 50 went at him. Like, maybe Rockefeller, because Jay was big enough, but, and Jay had enough street credibility where he couldn't have pulled the same shit he pulled on Ja on Jay. It wouldn't have worked.
I'm about a dollar. What the fuck is
Yeah.
Because they both from the same hood too. You know what I'm saying? The same area. It's different when you're talking about borough to borough to be on that type of street shit.
Yeah. And I don't know if y'all saw, I didn't get to finish it. I saw, like, it's a long interview, but I saw when Math, shout out to Math Hoffa and his podcast, he put out the footage with Tony Yayo. And Yayo was laying out the backstory of, like, what made 50 different. Because he was like, yo, he was really a street nigga. Like, you know, 50 was really outside doing that shit. So nobody could ever question his credibility in the street. And so when that shit translated to the music, it was like, of course, the whole hood gonna rock with him, because that you could never find no dirt on 50. It wasn't like, oh, this nigga pretending to be something. No, that's who 50 really was. And for 50 to be beefing with them niggas and putting them in check, niggas had to respect it.
Mm.
Facts. It's true.
He was getting into it with his son recently, too. They had a whole little thing back and forth, man. That shit was getting real nasty. He's been nasty for a long time with that. Like he kind of just, I know 50 had washed his hands with the whole situation at one point, because I know I had like read his book that he had, and he was talking about, you know, he had tried to help out and shit, but he kind of felt like they wanted money instead of actually, you know, maybe getting a skill or something like that. But, you know.
Well, 50 said he was giving his baby mom, I feel like it was like either 100 or 250,000 a month, something like that, some crazy outlandish number. And then she started acting up, so he was like, all right, now I'm going to put myself on child support. And then that's when it got to the amount, you know, the $6,700 a month that he had to pay. So that completely changes their lifestyle. And then, you know, that's when you start to get the resentment. And you start to build that bitter resentment up.
Yeah. Yeah, he's talked about it. I mean, the amount of money he was giving her is crazy, man. You talking over 100 grand a month, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's crazy numbers.
Pocket change.
Even now, like, I, you know.
Like, how you complaining about that?
Because entitlement, you know, is unfortunate. But some people feel like, and again, I know she was with him early on before he blew up. But you're not entitled to everything he has.
You know what I'm saying?
And that's my point. You're not, even still, you're not entitled. Like, I always have I guess to me, I'm always conflicted. Like, even when we hear about married couples breaking up, right? And it's like, oh, you entitled to have. Why are you entitled to have?
Mm-hmm.
Like, did you do half the work?
Mm-hmm. You're right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and that goes both ways, because we've joked about it as you know, as men who get alimony and get the settlement and all that. It's like, I think it's a little, it's almost a slap in the face of the person who got to give the half up, because it's like, yo, so if I grinded, I put all the work in, because our relationship can't work out, you automatically entitled to half.
They're gonna say that they supported you.
Well,
fair, but
if you have kids, that's one thing. But if y'all ain't got no kids and y'all just together, then you could have been out working too. Like, what do you mean?
They gonna say they supported you. I'm telling you, and then you caused emotional distress, and they had to stop their career. This is the shit. This is the shit. We can't win, bro.
But that's fine. But that don't mean you get 50%. So what if? So let's say we doing hypotheticals, right? If I'm worth $100 million, and you say you supported me and you did all this thing, so 30% of that ain't enough. It got to be 50%.
Yeah, because they want, you know, the same, like, lifestyle that you live in.
Right, and that's I guess that's why I get conflicted with it, because it's like I think we throw that around too convenient, like, oh, that it, they about to get half. Why?
Mm-hmm.
You should always come to terms on a fair number, something that's fair. If I'm worth $100 million, that does not mean you should get $50 million just because we didn't work out. Because what if the reason we didn't work out was because of you? So I still got to give you half now.
Yes,
you know, but right. So, you know, but to the point with 50, I mean, you know, it's a crazy number, man. And even now with his son, I think it's crazy, because I do sympathize. You know, his son probably does want a relationship with him, but I think he's going about it the wrong way. Like, you can't go on social media and be like, oh, my dad is only giving me $6,700 a month in child support. Like, bro, you're a grown man.
Yeah.
You're 24 years old getting child support from your father. And there's a lot of people out here who go to work and they work 40 and 50 hours a week and don't make $6,700 a month. You're getting that just...
Wait,
right.
So he's still giving him the $6,700 a month now?
Yes. His son get... So when they had restructured the deal with the mom was getting over $100,000 a month up until Marquise turned 18. Now his son is still getting financial support from 50, even though they don't have a relationship. He gets $6,700 a month just from his dad as financial support. So even if you got a little bullshit job, Shorty could be clearing 10 grand a month between a job and the financial support his dad is giving him.
Yeah,
I don't want to say a bullshit job. I don't want to say a bullshit job. I apologize for using that word, but I'm saying you can go get you a regular job.
Yeah.
And still be more than comfortable.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But then when you put up the pictures with the money laid out, talking about entitled and all that, like, I just feel like you're going about it the wrong way.
He needs attention. And I think he's crying out. He wants to have a relationship with his father. But I do think he's going about it the wrong way, like you said, Eric.
Yeah.
That's what it seems like to me. It seems like he wants a relationship with his father, and this is his way of showing it. He's acting out. He doesn't know how to just say, you know, yo, Pops, like, I really would like a relationship with you. You know what I'm saying? Like, can we just fucking build, just the two of us, go get a fucking drink, go to a cigar bar, any fucking thing. Like, can't you, like, just the two of us. Like, I really would like to build that relationship with you. It's something that I missed growing up because you weren't there, and, you know, you didn't get along with my mother. So now that I'm an adult, can we have that relationship?
Yeah, I mean, he did recently put up a post, and I guess he realized what he was doing was wrong. But like I said, even at 24, you got to be a little smart. And like you said, like, in private, listen, whoever I need to speak to my dad, that's what I'm going to do. And we could talk in private. And if we have that conversation and it goes left and then I develop my own opinions about you, then that's different.
Yeah.
But to be on live saying I only get $6,700 when... A majority of people that was watching you live don't make $6,700 from their job, bro.
Nope. Exactly. Probably not in 2 months.
3 months.
Right.
4 months. Shit.
You know, there's a lot of people looking at you live like, so you telling me you don't even have to work and you're $6,700?
Word.
Like, I would have flipped that shit to this and that, did this and did that. Like,
yeah, yo. You could literally sit on your ass all day and do nothing and live in a nice neighborhood with $6,700 a month.
I mean, yeah, you talking, remember, 60, even at $6,000 a month, you making over $70,000 for the year.
Yeah.
He's at almost at $80,000. I'm just doing it off the top of my head. He's probably at $80,000 a year.
Is that tax?
Yeah, I'm sure it's tax, but even still.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how many people go to a job that's taxed and don't make $80,000 a year?
They tax child support payments?
I think they do.
No, like, Going to the person? I don't know about that.
I don't even know.
I feel like they shouldn't be able to tax child support payments because that's supposed to be to take care of the child.
Maybe they don't. I don't know. I've never been in that situation, so I don't know. Yeah, but I gotta look still. All right, so even if they don't, that's worse, bro. Like, as we were talking about, I did the math. So that's 80 grand a year you got. Mm-hmm. Like Tripp said, you literally don't even have to do a thing. But you know on the first of the month that wire transfer is going to clear and that money's going to be there for you.
Yeah, it seems like you're lazy. And because if you telling me you're giving me $6,700 a month and I don't got to do nothing, this is like, yo, my pops is throwing $6,700 in my bank account every month. Bro, you know how much bread I'm going to be making?
Facts.
Are you shitting me, bro? Like, what? I'm still getting money.
Right. And again, we don't know him personally. Homie might still be living in the house with his mother. Yeah. He's 24, bro.
Yeah, it's possible.
Like, he might still be in the house that they had where it's like, yo, I'm rushing to get up out of here for?
They got a nice house.
Right. We got a nice house. I'm getting money. Shit, for all that, if I was him, I'd be like, yo, you know what? I'll do you one better, Pops. Get me a job. You ain't even got to give me the $6,700.
Well, he said he tried to do some of that stuff like in the past. He said it was like a sneaker business he wanted to have or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, he said he tried these things, but they just was like, nah, I want the bread, basically.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. That's the way I would go about it. Like, yo, you know what? Fuck that. You ain't even got to give me, just give me $3,000 a month. Just give me $3,000 to cover my basic bills and expenses. But I would rather the exposure to the job and to the business from you than just worrying about the $6,700, because I could probably make more money. Shit, not for nothing, you might as well go to acting school and get on one of the shows.
Facts.
Right? That's what Lil Meech did. Lil Meech went to acting school for 2 years.
Imagine that. He would have been playing his pops.
That's what Ice Cube son did.
Right, that's what Cube son did. We might have been looking at him on Raising Kanan.
Word, playing Kanan.
But relationships get weird, man. When folks have kids, and then you know he stuff. It just got crazy, man. But I hate to see that shit every time it turns around. And you know he got a younger son or whatever the case may be. But 50 just not the person to be fucked with, just in regards to anybody, because he'll dead ass no not give a fuck or whatever. I don't think he don't be going back and forth with his son no more though, right? He be chilling with that shit, right?
Yeah, he don't even say nothing.
Okay, that's good. That's good, because you know he a different level, dog. He a different level. He that level of petty, man.
Well, I don't think he wanna crush his son like that. Like,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, it's still 50 son. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like. True. And you got to understand as a parent, you know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes, you know, things like this happen. Like, well, you don't want to, like, because right now it's like, yeah, it's embarrassing. It's a little stupid, but it ain't nothing crazy. You know what I'm saying? To where I feel like I want to just shit on my own son on my public platform, you know what I'm saying? To the point where I'm, like, I'm really just breaking him all the way the fuck down to the lowest fucking decimal type shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Facts. I heard about your boy Young Jock, right?
Oh, the hell?
Yeah. Man tried to get his money back. They blocked his ass.
Yeah.
I did hear about that. What y'all thought of that, man?
I mean, it's unfortunate, man, but people don't give a fuck, bro. You're just not gonna accidentally send somebody $1,800 and then be like, "Can you say like it was?" So it was Cash App, by the way, because Zelle is a little bit more. You don't know who it's coming from. You know what I'm saying? Like maybe somebody can Zelle you some, I mean, can Cash App you some shit, but low key, Cash App is like a whole different world, man. Like you could buy Bitcoin on Zelle. I mean, on Cash App, like it's a lot that goes on there. So it was just tough luck, bro. I don't know if that was one of them Love and Hip Hop checks, but that, I mean, you know. That was crazy.
Yeah, that's wild, bro. I feel bad because I know I ain't trying to give away. I don't give a fuck how much money I got. I'm not just trying to give away no fucking money to nobody. Like, nah, fuck.
Like $1,800, I think.
Word.
I don't know. It's tough to call because it's easy for us to be like, why would you be sending that amount to Cash App as opposed to Zelling it? You know what I'm saying? But, you know. Cash App might be the most unsecure out of all of them, because at least with PayPal and with Zelle, there's, like you said, there's certain steps you have to take. Like, you got to confirm that this is the actual person you're sending it to.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I guess that's how he operate, man. I think there was a story a couple years ago where DJ Envy had said that shit, where he cashed up somebody like $7,000 or something like that, that was doing work at his crib.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. It was gone.
Mm. Yeah, you was beat for that shit, bro. Sorry.
Yeah, it's a wrap. It's gone.
That motherfucker about to have a good ass time, yo. 1800? Shit.
You bless somebody. That might have been their rent right there.
Mm-hmm. What I'm supposed to do with this, bro? Nah, you can go. And he on the radio or some shit. Like, he got some checks coming through. I'm not to say that, not to count nobody's pockets, but shit, like, you know what I'm saying? You could probably get that shit back faster than some of these other people can. And if let's say it was just happened to be like a dope boy or some shit, it don't matter. You still was beat. But anyways.
Now, what made that shit funny was when he messaged the person and was like, nah, send it back because you got another. Don't block your blessings. Make sure you send it back. I would have responded like, this was my blessing. Since you want to make it about blessings, this was it. This was it.
You blocking your blessings.
Asking, ye shall receive, right?
Right.
I told the Lord, you sent it, and thank you. And that's it.
I told the Lord yesterday I didn't know how I was going to pay these bills, and whew, a Cash App came through.
Won't he do it?
Won't he do it? That'd be the line right there. He'd be like, yo, shut up. What you talking about? Man, I got my nails. You're like, girl, shut up.
But yeah, man, it's that's somebody's blessing right there.
Mm-hmm.
So, what we got? We got anything else before we wrap?
Yeah, when I'm looking, it was a guy, man, Colorado. He killed his boss because they fucked up his check.
I mean, I feel him on niggas fucking up the check, but I ain't trying to, you know, risk it all over the shit either. Like, that's a bit extreme. But all right. You know,
right? So that's one. Then it was another one. This guy in Florida accused of pouring bleach into his co-worker's Pepsi can after being difficult to work with. Being called so bad.
I mean,
oh, man.
What do people be thinking when they do this stuff though? Like, nobody's gonna find out. Like, when the person drinks the bleach and passes the fuck out, somebody's gonna know something happened.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm confused by this.
Pepsi, you don't even care, bro. It be some wild shit we be seeing online, bro. This is shit that, like, I get when they be like, yo, ain't nothing on the news with the blues, man.
It's crazy. The bleach is crazy, bro, because somebody got to really piss you the fuck off, because you didn't just have bleach sitting at your desk.
No.
So you probably brought it in the next day to work. So you carried that anger from the day before and was like, I had enough of this motherfucker right here. When he opened that drink up, he going to get a shot of bleach in there.
Yeah, you got to really push face. His face. That's disgusting. And then, you know, right? So hold on. Before we get up out of here, right? So Jeffrey Dahmer fans are allegedly throwing panties on at the home of the dad in the driveway.
Panties?
Yeah.
Again, that's more weird shit, but all right.
Weird. So they throwing their panties at the houses of the victims?
No, in the driveway of his dad.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I don't even know what to say to that, bro.
So you want to accept the panties on your driveway?
What? No.
First of all, his pops is like 80-something years old,
exactly,
bro.
Like, what is he doing with them panties?
He ain't got the energy to be picking up panties off the driveway every day.
Exactly. He ain't fucking every day. Like, see, damn sure ain't got the energy to pick up no panties off the ground.
He mad as shit.
Yeah, I'd be mad too. Panties.
I'd be pissed the fuck off. And then thankfully he's at his age, because if he was younger, then the wife start thinking, you know, your side bitch over here throwing panties on the driveway. That's a whole nother issue. And then, if y'all throwing panties, what are y'all expecting the outcome to be? Which I think he going to take him to the gravesite. Jeff, I got two more for you, Jeff.
Yo, nah, man. People be into some shit, man. they be into some shit, man. And then it's wild because we had a conversation about the Kanye and the R. Kelly, and then like with this on the flip side, like we know this motherfucker did it. Not to say that they didn't, we don't know they did it, but the motherfuckers was like, nah, I didn't do it type shit. You know what I'm saying? Or whatever, whatever. Like, people be liking some weird shit. It's the people that love like Marilyn Manson, or not Marilyn Manson, but like all that death shit and those fucking serial killers. Like, they'll follow serial killers.
Yeah.
Those type people.
Yeah, the Jeffrey Dahmer fan club, that's some weird shit, because not to condone anything that R. Kelly did, and obviously I don't want to throw Kanye in there because Kanye ain't commit a crime. He just out here promoting hate. But Jeffrey Dahmer was drugging, raping, and killing men. And then eating the body parts and then dissolving the rest of it in a barrel of acid. Yeah, so,
weird.
Yeah, first of all, y'all women that think he's sexy, he didn't even like y'all.
Nope.
He did not like y'all at all.
Yeah.
That's first. Secondly, y'all some sadistic motherfuckers.
Yeah, man. You be in some shit, man. Shit different out here. You know, as long as I don't see that shit, I don't care what you do. Shooting the shit, y'all.
Shooting the shit.
Shooting the motherfucking shit.
Pride is the devil. Think it got a hold on me. Pride's a devil. And left so many RIP. Pride is a devil. Think it got a hold on me. Pride is a devil. Yeah. Terrified, paranoid, I put you over everything to fill the void. And when you